This morning I would like to depart from my usual sermonic style to talk very earnestly with you about some very serious matters in our society today. You see, there is a sort of spiritual substitution going on today that I consider to be of the utmost importance. This spiritual substitution goes under the general rubric of the New Age movement. Actually, there is not one movement, but many, a sort of smorgasbord of spiritual substitutes. However, these New Age movements have one thing in common. As one writer puts it, they are all heralding our unlimited potential to transform ourselves and to transform the planet so that a new age of peace, light, and love will break forth. Whether you are aware of it or not, you are being exposed in a radical way to these spiritual substitutions that are rampant in our society. In the movies, through psychology, in education, politics, business, medicine, the New Age movement is penetrating our society everywhere. I was talking to Scott Jackson, who was our liturgist at the early service, and he was telling me that he was in B. Dalton Bookstore yesterday, and they had not one section, but two sections heralding New Age literature. And I want to tell you about some of the dangers of this. Let me give you an example. One of the really fine actresses in recent years is a lady named Shirley MacLaine. But being a good actress and competent in one's profession does not qualify one as an expert in other fields. Especially, it does not mean that one has become a great theologian. Yet, as a matter of fact, Shirley MacLaine, trading on her reputation as an actress and her fame for what she does, has become a fervent evangelist for the New Age movement. One of the things she claims is reincarnation. She believes the human spirit passes through many incarnations. But her theology is far more serious than just reincarnation. And let me explain. Do you remember the story in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament? God has appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and he has instructed him to go to Egypt to bring out the children of Israel. But Moses, before accepting that responsibility, he makes a strange request. He says to God, "Who shall I say has sent me? Tell me your name." Now that question has particular significance. You see, in the Old Testament, and also in some in the New Testament, name was synonymous with character. If you knew a person's name, you had the clue, the key to his character. You had the clue to who and what he was. So to ask God his name was incredibly important to Moses. It was the clue to who this person, this God speaking to him. And do you remember how God answered the question of Moses? He said to him, "Tell them, I am that I am. I am that I am." And then God goes on to explain the name. He tells Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you." That is, tell them I exist. Tell them I am the ground of all things. And then God adds to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, And thus I am to be remembered to all generations, I am that I am. So God gives Himself a unique name. He is the one who has existed, who does exist, who will exist. He is I am that I am. But in light of that, listen to Shirley MacLaine and what she says in her book, Dancing in the Light. Quote, I know that I exist, therefore I am. I know that the God source exists, therefore it is. Not I know God exists, and He is, but the God source exists, therefore it is. Since I am a part of that force, then I am that I am. For her, God is reduced to an impersonal force in the universe, and she has instead given herself the divine name of God. She tells us that God is but a force in the universe, and we ourselves are divine. Now, Miss MacLaine may be a fine actress, but she is a terrible theologian. Like all of the so-called New Age views, there is no distinction between me and God. God, who is only a force in the universe, of which I am a part. Therefore, I am really a part of God. And all I need to do is to discover this God within me to realize my full potential. Now, the technical name for this viewpoint that underlies all of these New Age philosophies is monism. Now, monism is different from monotheism. Monotheism says there is one God. Monism is the belief that there is a spiritual force that is without form or face, and that we are a part of it. Monism. Now, this means that there's really no such thing as sin in my life. The real problem is not sin, but ignorance of my true potential and the ignorance of not knowing how to release the God force potential in me. But even if I don't realize my full potential in this life, Miss MacLaine assures us that we have other lives ahead of us. Now, admittedly, some of the New Age nonsense can be dismissed as mere silliness. For example, one of the recent innovations has been about crystal power. The claim that crystals have some inherent power to help us fulfill ourselves and to give magical powers we never had before. What nonsense. And surely there's enough foolishness in the fetishism of pyramids and crystals to satisfy even the most gullible. And if you're wearing one, for heaven's sakes, take it off. One national business has been promoting itself because it has a building shaped like a pyramid, and surely its executives must be laughing up their sleeves as they talk on television ads about the power of the pyramid. But in spite of some of the silliness, such as checking one's horoscope in the paper, and that horoscope that has my birthday in it applies to everybody in the world with that. What foolishness. But it's an incredible thing to me that there is a spiritual trend in our society that appears to be very dangerous because of its gullibility. It's incredible to me that so many magazines, for example, at the grocery store checkout counter, have been running major articles on what the astrologists say will happen in the coming year. And for those of you who don't know, astronomy is the study of the stars. Astrology is the study of the significance of the stars on individuals. Astronomy is a legitimate science. Astrology is a fraud. Do you realize how bad the predictive rate of those people is? Frequently, their predictions do not even add up to chance. And doesn't it strike you as rather incredible that our major radio station right here in St. Louis had the other day a program where a so-called seer would take telephone calls and tell whoever called in all about their future just by hearing their voice on the radio? Now, how ridiculous that is. But the seriousness of it is that people want to believe. They yearn to believe the counterfeit kingdom. They want to know what the future holds. They want to hear what might be. And today people are into psychic experimentation such as channeling and mediums and talking supposedly to figures hundreds of years old in the past. And even the business world has been invaded in a substantial way. Let me mention just four of them. One of the big business involvements recently has been the so-called Earhart seminar training, formerly called EST and now called the Forum. And in this seminar, participants from the business world are coached in what is called self-talk to reach an altered state of consciousness. And in this altered state, they supposedly reach a breakthrough. And what is this breakthrough? It is a state of mind, they claim, that produces solutions to problems beyond the reach of the rational mind or the normal state of consciousness. You're dealing now with a form of spiritism. A second New Age group was founded by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. It too offers a higher state of consciousness that promises a transformation. And this transformation is reached by one dwelling on a mantra. And a mantra is simply a Hindu holy word. And as one repeats this word in his conscious mind, one reaches the so-called source of thought. I've been astonished at how many of us, not me, but others, have been involved in transcendental meditation, which is what this is. I know one of my doctors came to me some time ago, and I was shocked to learn that he was practicing TM. I was dismayed to learn that some elements of it have been injected into the school system. Reportedly, AT&T, General Foods, and other leading corporations have used TM in their personnel management programs. And TM is currently marketing a program geared to the business world under the innocuous sounding name of One Incorporated. One Incorporated. One in Hindu is Om, which is their word for God, one of their words for God. One Incorporated. A third New Age group is called Silver Mind Control. It claims to offer a mind transformation that enables the participant to gain expertise in solving problems. And then the fourth group is called Peak Performance Institute, founded by Charles Garfield. It offers transformation from a combination of meditation, hypnosis, and visualization. It's claimed it will increase performance levels in business, it will increase your effectiveness at board meetings, and it will help you in speeches. Actually, it's based on the philosophy of Zen Buddhism. And at your bookstore, whole sections dedicated to the New Age movement. Now, the fact is, all of these are pantheistic philosophies designated as the newest ways to achieve personal success, to achieve fortune, to be successful in business. And why am I calling our attention to these things? For the simple reason that Jesus warned us that these things will happen. He said, "For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many." As Paul wrote in our scripture for this morning, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." As a matter of fact, the New Age movement has made inroads into the church today. And many Christians have been deceived. The New Age is full of false prophets, false Christs that Jesus warned us about. And what is the great danger of the New Age movement? First, it knows nothing of sin. It knows only what it calls unrealized potential. But the fact is, my problem is not realizing my potential. My problem is to be forgiven of my sin. That's what destroys my potential. I am not one with God. I am not a part of an impersonal divine force in the universe. I am a creature made in the image of my Creator. And this creature that I am has rebelled and sinned and disobeyed against God. And until I know that, I am doomed and lost. Second, the New Age movement knows nothing of what someone has called blood-stained love. The only thing that can redeem me is not meditation that gives me a breakthrough to some new level of consciousness. The only thing that can redeem me is not mystical transformation, not visualization, not crystals, not pyramids, but forgiveness bought on the cross of Jesus Christ. In the New Age movement, Jesus is just one among many religious teachers. But Jesus is not even primarily a teacher. He is primarily one who brings blood-stained love, one who brings blood-stained forgiveness to me, a forgiveness and a love that I must have, and which I can get in no other place. It is my duty as your pastor to warn you about such false religions. We put ourselves in peril. We open ourselves to risk when we begin to dabble with these unholy influences. Avoid programs of meditation that focus on yourself, on inner light, on inner levels of consciousness, and not on Jesus Christ. Avoid those programs that claim to foretell the future, that promise breakthroughs to new levels of consciousness, that offer to put you in touch with realities you have never experienced before. Those are cultic practices. Those are cultic practices. Those are demonic influences that have incredible power to disrupt your life, expose you to satanic influences that can be destructive, as it was to all those people with Jim Jones. There will always be offers of counterfeit kingdoms. Jesus told us that. The Bible tells us that. We endanger ourselves, we put ourselves at terrible risk when we dabble with them. As St. Peter once said, "Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary the lion prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith." We need two things to help us avoid the counterfeits in the world today. First of all, we must understand and know our faith in Jesus Christ. You see, He came not primarily to be a teacher, but He came with a mission. He came with a mission with blood-stained love to redeem us, to buy us back again. We need to understand that as Christians and what we believe. And secondly, in the church today, and especially here in Central, we need strong spiritual leadership. If the devil can do anything to upset Central Presbyterian Church, he will do so, because we are one of the strongest witnesses for Jesus Christ in this city. And if there is some way that the devil can disrupt what we're doing here, he will. Today we will be ordaining and installing elders and deacons, and I pray for us that those men will know who and what they are as sons of God, and that they will give this congregation the kind of spiritual dynamic leadership that we need for the age, the dangerous age in which we live. You see, even congregations and ministers and denominations can get carried off into the counterfeit kingdoms. As Paul wrote to Timothy, and as he writes to us, as for you, always be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Let us pray.